Hello. So, today I'd like to talk about something which, well, a lot of people might find it quite difficult to get their heads around and quite difficult to believe, but there is actually quite a lot of evidence for it, and that is the importance of execution to the development of civilization. Put simply, if we hadn't been regularly executing a small proportion of our young men, generation after generation, for hundreds of years, then we probably wouldn't have developed the Industrial Revolution. We probably wouldn't be sitting in front of our computers now, or at least if we had done, it would have taken a lot longer. Now, first of all, when we talk about civilization, when we talk about what do we mean by civilization? What are the central facts as to civilization? Well, there's really three key things. The first is simply intelligence. Now, we define intelligence really as the ability to solve cognitive problems quickly. There are people that come up with all kinds of silly alternative ways of defining it or whatever, but all of these things can alter emotional intelligence and so on, but all of these things can ultimately be reduced down to intelligence. So, for example, the ability to solve cognitive problems correlates with intelligence at about 0.3, so it's underpinned by intelligence. Now, intelligence is associated with all kinds of things which are central to being able to have a functioning civilization. Intelligence predicts that you are low, that you have high impulse control. Intelligence predicts that you are low in criminality. Intelligence predicts that you're cooperative. Intelligence predicts that you're able to come up with new and interesting ideas and solve important problems. Intelligence predicts that you can kind of overcome your instincts and your sort of more base ways of responding to things. Intelligence is very important to get on in life. And consistent with that, intelligence predicts socioeconomic status and so on. Now, there's good studies by Richard Lynn and Tatu Vanhanen, which have shown that at the group level, when you compare countries with different IQs, intelligence predicts essentially every dimension of civilization you can think of. Not only low criminality, but the ability to maintain law and order, the ability to maintain a functioning sewerage system, the ability to avoid war, the ability to maintain a sort of cooperative sort of form of liberal democracy, whatever it is that's central to civilization, intelligence appears to be significantly behind it. So that's the first thing that's important then, is civilization, to civilization, is intelligence. The second thing is a certain kind of personality. In psychology, people talk about something called the general factor of personality. And this combines, this basically refers to a socially cooperative, socially effective kind of person, and in particular a person who is high in what we call altruism and high in conscientiousness. Now, at the individual level, this kind of personality predicts, again, being low in criminality, being high in socioeconomic achievement, and so on. So this kind of personality is, again, important to being able to build up a civilization which works. If you don't have enough people who are cooperative and conscientious and have good impulse control, then everyone's fighting, and you're not able to build up a functioning civilization. So the second thing you need is a certain kind of personality, a tame personality, as it were. The third factor that's central to civilization, and it relates to the second, is basically religiousness. Now, what religiousness is significantly correlated with general factor of personality, but whether it's in societies that are highly religious or in societies that are not particularly religious at all, it doesn't matter. General factor of personality is associated with religiousness. Religiousness somehow makes you more altruistic and increases your impulse control because you believe that a god is watching over you and he's going to punish you if you misbehave or whatever it is. And also perhaps because these kinds of personality factors have kind of co-evolved with religiousness. Now, religiousness is important to civilization, of course, because religiousness makes the encodes as the will of God that which has worked in the past, that which has got the civilization to the stage it's got to. And so, of course, if you've got the religion involved, you've got God saying, this is the way you should behave. And normally what God says is you should behave in a way which is evolutionarily adaptive, i.e. you should cooperate and you should look after each other and you should fight off the enemy and that sort of thing. Then, of course, the more religious group is going to triumph over the less religious group. And so religiousness becomes selected for. Now, consistent with this, there's quite good evidence from, for example, experiments using using grids where you have a grids of robots sort of thing. There's quite good evidence that it is the religious group that will always come to dominate, when you use computer models, when you sort of plan it out, the religious group will always come to dominate. And the reason for that is that the religious group is more ethnocentric. Religiousness is associated with both positive ethnocentrism, that is, making sacrifices for your society, being altruistic and cooperative, and negative ethnocentrism, that is, repelling the invader in these computer models. This is ethnocentrism and religion. The two things come together. So you've got these three dimensions then to civilization that are important. The first is intelligence, the second is personality, and the third is religiousness. Now, this is where execution comes in. Because there was a fascinating paper published in 2015 by Peter Frost and Henry Harpending in the journal Evolutionary Psychology on this very topic. It was called Western Europe, State Formation and Genetic Pacification. And what they showed was that until the beginning of the medieval era, Europe didn't really execute people. The church was against execution. And it was generally felt that people should solve their own problems. And so if there was some sort of murder or whatever, then people would organize a fight and they'd solve the problem that way. The state didn't get involved. Now, gradually, as we move towards away from the Dark Ages and towards the medieval era, this pair argue, this attitude begins to change. And the church starts to believe that the bad, the evil, should be executed so that the good can live in peace. And gradually, execution becomes the punishment for more and more and more and more crimes. And by the High Middle Ages in Europe, execution is the punishment for basically any felony, any crime which was sufficiently serious in the past that it meant that you could have confiscation of property was now something which was subject to execution. And what that meant was and the people who were overwhelmingly committing these crimes, motivated by, high testosterone, really, motivated by their relatively low agreeableness and their relatively low conscientiousness, because that's what is associated with high testosterone, were basically young men. So Western Europe was executing about 1% of young men every generation. And another 1% were being killed at the scene of the crime or dying in the squalid, fetid prisons which Europe had at the time. So 2% of young men are being executed every generation or being killed every generation. Now, this is important because, of course, they're young men. So it's limiting their fertility. These are people who could have bred, who could have got on to pass on their genes. And you've got to remember that personality is somewhere, at a conservative estimate, somewhere in the region of 50% genetic. And there are some researchers that have argued that it's as much as about 70% genetic. So what this process of execution is doing is it's taming the gene. It's limiting the fertility of basically psychopaths, of those who are the worst in impulse control and the worst in altruism every generation. And and what they demonstrate in this study using what's called the breeder's equation is that the personality of Western Europe starts to change. The murder level starts to decline. The crime level starts to decline. Even though there's no significant difference in standard of living, I mean, it's getting perhaps slightly better sometimes and slightly worse other times, but it's basically pretty much the same. But even so, we start to behave differently. We start to become less violent, and they demonstrate more civilized. And they demonstrate that it's execution that's helping to do this, because it is removing every generation these most psychopathic people, these most violent, unpleasant, criminal, anti-civilized people. And so it's moving us in the direction of the Industrial Revolution, where you have this very cooperative society which we managed to create, where we don't have war and we don't have all this internal conflict and so on that we did during the Dark Ages. So this is very important. This is a highly significant finding, I think, which should have been more widely known and more widely discussed. Now, myself and Guy Madison, who is a professor of psychology at the University of Umeå, I came up with an idea. He did all the complex statistical stuff. We had this idea that perhaps this was relevant to other factors as well. Now, one of these is, of course, intelligence.
Intelligence predicts criminality. It's overwhelmingly stupid young men who commit crimes. And so by executing at a young age, so that their fertility is being limited, these young men, you are limiting their fertility. You are also selecting in favour of intelligence every generation by engaging in this execution of 1 or 2% of the young male population. You're clearly going to be raising intelligence as well. And intelligence is somewhere that's more heritable than personality. It's somewhere in the region of 80% heritable. So you can see how gradually this is going to be boosting intelligence and thus boosting the correlates of civilization in Western Europe. Now, in addition, of course, remember that when the punishment for a crime, intelligent people have short time horizons. So people with low intelligence have short time horizons. So when the punishment for the crime is a bit of a slap on the wrist, they might take the risk. When the punishment for a crime is death, you'd have to be extremely impulsive. You'd have to have extremely short time horizons to take the risk. And so this committed the crime. And so this only further demonstrates the degree to which this process is going to be selecting in favour of intelligence. In addition, at the time, there was the High Middle Ages and into the early modern period, there was something called benefit of the clergy. I.e., if you committed a felony but you could read, then you were able to get off. I mean, you wouldn't be executed. Perhaps you'd be outlawed, and you'd have to be on the run, and you have to be careful, and you'd have to get your money back together, and so on. You'd be in trouble, but you wouldn't necessarily be executed. So you'd think it would be only the very, very stupid, because of course intelligence is negatively associated with education level. It would be those who were very uneducated, who couldn't even read, who couldn't even if they couldn't read, learn off by heart a passage of the Bible in order to pretend they could read. It would be those people who'd be being executed. So we can see how it's also raising intelligence level. And we've also talked about the importance of religion to civilization. Religiousness holds the civilization together. Religiousness ensures that the enemies at the gate are repelled. Religiousness promotes cooperation and altruism and these forms of behavior that are central to civilization as the will of God. And therefore, it promotes it further than a society would if it had similar attributes but weren't religious. So religiousness is also central to civilization. And also could be argued that it elevates the level of religiousness, as we showed in the paper. It is quite clear that we did become more religious over this period, from the Middle Ages up until the early modern period. And a good example of this is the percentage of the population that were prepared to be religious devotees, that were prepared to become monks and nuns over this period. And this skyrocketed, really, across the medieval period. So in that sense, we're becoming more religious. More people are deeply religiously committed. Questioning religiousness becomes much more unacceptable over the period. We go from a relatively enlightened period in the early medieval era, in which witchcraft is basically fine, in which questioning the religion is basically fine, to a period by the Tudor period, in which witchcraft is a capital offence, and in which you will be executed for heresy. And executed for very minor questioning of the religious dogmas. So we're definitely becoming more religious, which is probably part of what's behind the wars in the 16th century, which we see. Now, could execution select for being more religious? Well, of course it could, because religiousness is negatively associated with psychopathic personality. It's negatively associated with low general factor of personality. It's negatively associated with the very traits which this system of execution is going to be removing. These traits will make you less religious, and execution is removing these traits. It's removing these traits which are going to make people less religious. And so we can see how execution is selecting in that direction. Execution of 2% of the male population every generation is not only making us more intelligent and making us more cooperative, more higher in general factor of personality, it's also making us, therefore, more religious, which has a kind of amplification effect of the effects of general factors of personality. It makes us even more cooperative. It makes us even more altruistic because we believe that God is watching us and we're going to go to hell if we don't behave like this and so on. And if anyone's ever, watching this, has ever been to university or whatever in England, you'll know there's this group called the Christian Union. I mean, they're fundamentalist Christians and they have very strict rules and so on. But no one can question the fact that they are extremely cooperative and extremely altruistic people. I mean, that is the very much the nature, despite what people like Richard Dawkins might tell you, that is very much the nature of religiousness. So execution has moved us towards civilization. And there's an interesting, a German researcher called Gerhard Meisenberg, and he wrote a book about 10 years ago called In God's Image, which was self-published and unfortunately got very little impact. It should have got a lot more. And he makes a very interesting point that if you look at the history of all civilizations, what tends to happen is that you have a correlation between, because of the conditions that you're in, between socioeconomic status and fertility. People who are the richer 50% of the population tend to have more surviving children than the poorer, the 50% of the population, because they are more able to look after them and provide conditions in which they can, which they can flourish. And so therefore, over the generations, intelligence is selected for. And the society becomes more and more and more intelligent until it reaches a relatively high level of intelligence. Now, in all previous civilizations, whether it's ancient Rome, ancient Greece, whatever, ancient Islamic civilization, we get to a point where we develop contraception and the elite are intelligent enough that they start questioning their religion because religiousness is weakly negatively associated with IQ. And so on. They start questioning the way things are. They start thinking for themselves. And they therefore start using contraception. And they've no longer got a God there who's saying, or they've no longer got a God there who they deeply, profoundly believe in, who say, you've got to breed, it's my will, you've got to have lots of children. And so they start limiting their fertility in a way that those lower down do not. And they're able to limit it effectively because they're intelligent enough to be able to use contraception efficiently. And of course, there's the contraception there to use. And so intelligence gradually becomes negatively associated with socioeconomic, fertility gradually becomes negatively associated with economic status. And therefore intelligence, which correlates with economic status at about 0.3, becomes negatively associated with fertility. And therefore the society starts to decline, go down. That's what you see with Rome, it's what you see with Greece, it's whatever. But when it comes to Western Europe, there's a fundamental difference, and that is the fact we are just unbelievably intensely religious, in part because of this process of execution, and perhaps also in part because of the Black Death. That may well have selected in favour of greater religiousness as well, because it would have selected in favour of impulse control and making plans to avoid getting the plague and all this kind of thing. And so, therefore, we are much, much, much more intensely religious. We're selecting for intelligence as well, but we much more strongly selected for religiousness. And what this means is that we get to a much later stage before the upper class dare to start questioning religiousness and dare to start using contraception and therefore because of that start to limit their fertility and reverse this fertility intelligence nexus. We, unlike all previous civilizations, get beyond the Industrial Revolution when we start doing this. We don't get to the cusp of it, we get beyond it. And that is because at the point where in previous civilizations people would have started questioning religiousness, at that point in our civilization, i.e. perhaps in the 1600s or something like that, early 1600s, you'd have been burnt at the stake for doing that. So that's absolutely apt. And of course, because of various Jewish prohibitions, contraception is absolutely apt. So, I mean, in summary, therefore, those who it's a very emotional thing in the UK and also America, the issue of execution, and people think it's absolutely barbarous, and well, that we should deal with people who murder people or whatever in a much kinder and more compassionate fashion. And well, I mean, that's a different matter. But what can't be ignored is the centrality, or the importance rather, of widespread execution for the development of Western civilization. If we hadn't been executing so many people for so many generations, we would perhaps almost certainly wouldn't have reached the Industrial Revolution when we did. And in fact, it is questionable whether we would have reached it at all. So we should remember that when we are so quick to judge those countries, some certain states in the USA or Saudi Arabia or whatever, who engage in execution. Without execution, it is quite possible that civilization wouldn't have developed in the way it had, and we wouldn't be here in front of our computers today. All right, well, I hope that's been useful, and I will see you soon, and bye for now.